Since we're talking about CPNS, I should note that I have a CPNS diploma in my office. I think I'm the only one to have been awarded one honoris causa. Is that right? That means it's honorary. All right. We continue with the second reading of the scripture, and we still find ourselves in Eastertide. And so I'm reading from the great chapter that the Apostle Paul has written, the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm picking up the reading at the end of the chapter. We have heard these verses before during this season. We contemplate them again. And I ask you to pay particular attention to the very last verse, verse 58. This is reading 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 51. Listen to God's word. Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on imperishability and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Another book of the Bible in the Old Testament begins like this. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Or the New International Version translates it, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless. You probably would recognize where that comes from. If you don't, I'll tell you it comes from the book of Ecclesiastes. And the traditional author of Ecclesiastes has been said to be King Solomon, a son of David. And the whole book, on the significance of why this book is in the canon of Scripture, in the Bible itself, is that it describes what life is like under the sun, is one of the phrases. That is, from a this world only perspective. If this world were all there were, this is what life would ultimately mean. And it goes something like this, just to kind of give an overview. You can pick up the book almost anywhere in it. No matter how wealthy you become, no matter how much you accumulate, no matter what you build, no matter what you achieve, no matter how successful you have your wealth, and someone else will have your possessions, someone else will live in your home and will run your business. And so from this perspective, this under the sun perspective, nothing you do ultimately matters. That is the message of Ecclesiastes. We add a great big New Testament, however, or but, these words. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, the beginning of God's new creation. Therefore, says the Apostle Paul, everything you do matters, and nothing, nothing is in vain. I've been getting a lot of the material preaching for this Eastertide from a book I've mentioned almost every week by N.T., or his name is Tom Wright, British theologian, written Surprised by Hope, Rethinking Heaven, the Resurrection, and the Mission of the Church. Listen to this. I'm going to give several readings from the book, and this is one about this very theme of first what we're looking at. The point of the resurrection, says N.T. Wright, as Paul has been arguing throughout 1 Corinthians, is that the present bodily life is not valueless just because it will die. God will raise it to new life. What you do with your body in the present matters because God has a great future in store for it. It also pertains to the various vocations to which God's people are called. What you do in the present by painting, preaching, singing, sewing, praying, teaching, building hospitals, digging wells, campaigning for justice, writing poems, caring for the needy, loving your neighbor as yourself will last into God's future. These activities are not simply ways of making the present life a little less beastly, a little more bearable, until the day when we leave it behind altogether. They are part of what we may call building for God's kingdom. End quote. Now let's have no mistake here. It is not our work that is going to bring God's kingdom. That is God's work. But we get to participate in preparing the way and building for the kingdom, and in that way everything we do counts. And as the Gospel of Matthew records for us at the end, which Mary read for us, the disciples encountered Jesus again after the resurrection. This was in Matthew, the last encounter with Jesus. We're told in Matthew 28, some worshiped, but yet still some doubted. This is very human kinds of responses being recorded for us. He gave them, in the verses that are read, and that are read at every baptism that we do here, what is called the Great Commission. You know the verses. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Pause. Jesus is already claiming to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is now. It's not something we're waiting for. Jesus is Lord. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. So then he tells them in the continuation of the Great Commission, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and remember that I am with you always to the close of the age. Remember the King James Version, lo, I am with you always. That's why we don't want to think that heaven is way up there, because Jesus says, lo, I am with you. No, never mind. Jesus is with us, and the way Jesus is with us is through the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, which we celebrate the coming of that Spirit in Pentecost. And so we'll hear more about that in the weeks ahead. The tasks Jesus gave to his disciples are very meaningful tasks. One of them is the task of evangelism, just to tell the good news. But the good news isn't just that you're going to have your soul saved and that you're going to go to heaven when you die. Rather, says Wright, N.T. Wright, this quote, the power of the gospel lies not in the offer of a new spirituality or religious experience, not in the threat of hellfire, or certainly not in the threat of being left behind, which can be removed if only the hearer checks this box, says this prayer, raises a hand, or whatever, but in the powerful announcement that God is God, that Jesus is Lord, that the powers of evil have been defeated and God's new world has begun. It's the good news of what already has happened and is happening. Wright continues, this announcement, stated as fact about the way the world is, rather than an appeal about the way you might like your life, your emotions, or your bank balance to be, is the foundation of everything else. Of course, once the gospel announcement is made in whatever way, it means instantly that all people everywhere are gladly invited to come in, to join the party, to discover forgiveness for the past and an astonishing destiny in God's future and a vocation in the present. End quote. And that vocation is building for the kingdom. We get to tell the great story that Jesus has conquered death. And we get to tell the never-ending story of God's new creation, of a transformed world, of transformed human beings with resurrected bodies. That is just the beginning, because it began when Jesus rose from the dead. It is inaugurated now. And with the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:17, which is often used as a declaration of assurance of pardon, these words, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The past is finished and gone. Everything becomes new. That's part of the gospel, that this new creation has already begun with Christ being raised from the dead. And it already begins in us through the coming of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, that we are made new creations ourselves. And that's going to be fulfilled when Christ comes again and we are bodily raised from the dead. But that's not the only work there is. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:58, that verse I mentioned, tells us that anything we do, or rather nothing we do, is in vain. And we are to work at everything with excellence in the Lord. N.T. Wright mentions two other areas that I'll just mention to you, that we begin to build towards the kingdom of God, even here in this life. One of them is justice. When Christ appears again, he will come as judge. Now, often we think about that in terms of our own lives, and thank the Lord that we can say that through Jesus Christ, as Karl Barth has said, the judge has judged himself on the cross. And that there is nothing we can do, says Philip Yancey, to make God love us more, nothing we can do to make God love us less. Because of grace, God already loves us as much as an infinite God can possibly love. But the judgment is not just on a personal level. When Christ appears and judges the world will change and justice will be established. The new creation will be a world of justice. It will be a world of equity and equality. It will be a world of love. And so everything we do now in working towards justice and equity and sharing and mercy is building for the kingdom. And I look out and I see Carol Kentz, who is part of volunteering of Centurion Ministries and people who work in the food pantry Fran Stewart has for many years, and now we have new leadership and task that Ann Gordon helps lead us for, and the Guatemala mission trip that George has been a part of and many of you have for many years, and the youth mission trip that Pastor Rosanna has led our people on along with the group of leaders. All of that, or rather let me back up, none of that is in vain. All of it has meaning and is building toward the kingdom and the world in which all of that will be transformed and will last forever. Justice. The last thing we'll mention is beauty. The world we live in was made by God and it is beautiful. Its beauty points to God and God's beauty. And part of our job of building for the kingdom is to make beauty in this world through music, through art, through gardening. The beauty of things will not be in vain, but will be transformed. Martin Luther, the great 16th century reformer, said, "If I knew that Jesus Christ were coming tomorrow, I would still plant the tree today. Our job is to make beauty. I tried to think about even of all the artists in our congregation. I see Cindy Giraudet there, Barbara Cox. I'm going to leave people out. Wilma Scheimer, Donna Sinopoulos, Jenny Swanigan. We have artists in our midst. The young people, Diana Ornberg, Lauren Scott, Laura Warren. Like, we could go on and on and on. We have wonderful artists. We have gardeners like Brenda Kirkner and the Buildings and Grounds Committee that work around this building to beautify, to bring beauty to this world. That is part of building for the kingdom. And none of it will be in vain. Listen to what N.T. Wright says, and I'm just about to wrap up this whole shebang. But what we can and must do in the present, if we are obedient to the gospel, if we are following Jesus, and if we are indwelt, energized, and directed by the Spirit, is to build for the kingdom. This brings us back to the last verse of 1 Corinthians 15 once more. What you do in the Lord is not in vain. You are not oiling the wheels of a machine that's about to roll over a cliff. You are not restoring a great painting that's shortly going to be thrown on the fire. You are not planting roses in a garden that's about to be dug up for a building site. You are, strange though it may seem, almost as hard to believe as the resurrection itself, accomplishing something that will become in due course part of God's new world. Every act of love, gratitude, kindness, every work of art or music inspired by the love of God and delight in the beauty of His creation, every minute spent teaching a severely handicapped child to read or to walk, every act of care, nurture, of comfort and support for one's fellow human beings and, for that matter, one's fellow non-human creatures, and, of course, every prayer, all Spirit-led teaching, every deed that spreads the gospel, builds up the church, embraces and embodies holiness rather than corruption, and makes the name of Jesus honored in the world, all of this will find its way through the resurrecting power of God into the new creation that God will one day make. Skipping over just a couple more verses. I do not know how the painting an artist paints today in prayer and wisdom will find a place in God's new world. I don't know how our work for justice for the poor, for remission of global debts, will reappear in that new world. But I know that God's new world of justice and joy, of hope for the whole earth, was launched when Jesus came out of the tomb on Easter morning. And I know that He calls His followers to live in Him by the power of His Spirit and so to be new creation people here and now. End quote. Vanity of vanities? Everything meaningless? No. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor, parenthetically, our work of building for the kingdom, end parenthesis, is not in vain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.